Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for all those that came out to sit in your presence and be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that you love everybody that's in this room, everybody in the sound of my voice. You love them desperately and totally and completely. And Father, I know that you're holding their hands right now tonight, and that you're saying, come on home. Let you and I sup. And Father, tonight I'm asking that those who came out, took the time to get dressed and get in their cars and drive to the house of God. I'm asking, Father God, that you give them a blessing they cannot contain. I'm asking, Father God, that their coffers overflow and that the anointing that destroys every yoke is manifested to its fullness. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God was good to us this morning. He's good to us every service. I thank God that we have a God that loves us so much, he just shows up, shows off, and does what he does best, and that's bless his people. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about angels. I want you to listen closely to what you're reading on the screens or hearing with your ears. Matthew 26:52-53, but Jesus said to him, you know, to Peter in the garden, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Now remember, Peter pulled his sword out and cut the one man's ear off, and Jesus had to put the ear back on. And you know, that was silly because one man couldn't destroy that whole army. So how much strength do you think one angel possesses? Right now, I'd like for us to consider the full impact of Jesus' words in Matthew 26:53, where he said, thinkest thou that I cannot now, right now, pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Let's look at three questions. Number one, what is a legion? And number two, how many angels would there be in 12 legions? And number three, what would be the combined strength of this number of angels? It is important to know the answers to these questions because the answers reveal the full might that was available to Jesus had he requested supernatural help in the Garden of Gethsemane. Actually, when we take it into account, the power that was already demonstrated in the garden and then add the potential assistance and impact of 12 legions of angels, it becomes obvious that there was no human force on earth strong enough to take Jesus against his will. Think about that. The only way he was going to be taken was if he allowed himself to be taken. Think about that. This is why he later told Pilate in John 19:11, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Let's begin with our first question. What is a legion? The word legion is a military term that was taken from the Roman army. A legion denoted a group of at least 6,000 Roman soldiers, although the total number could be higher. This means that any time we read about a legion of anything, we can know it always refers to at least 6,000 of something. An amazing example of this is found in Mark 5:9, where the Bible tells us that the demon-possessed man of the Gadareans had a legion of demons. That means this man had an infestation of at least 6,000 demons residing in him. One time that they were getting ready to do a deliverance, and God told me to tell them that they had many legions in them. That's a lot of demons inside of somebody. Let's now contemplate the second question. How many angels would there be in 12 legions? Since the word legion refers to at least 6,000 angels, however, Jesus said the Father would give him more than 12 legions of angels if he requested it. One legion is 6,000 angels, so if you simply multiply that number by 12, you'll discover that 12 legions of angels would include a minimum of 72,000 angels. But Jesus said the Father would give him more than 12 legions of angels. Therefore, you can conclude that there were potentially many additional thousands of angels available to Jesus the night he was arrested. Finally, let's look at our third question. What would be the combined strength in this number of angels? Angels are powerful. In fact, Isaiah 37:36 records that a single angel, one angel, obliterated 185,000 men in one night. So if a single angel had that kind of power, how much combined strength would there be in 12 legions of angels? And since single angel was able to kill 185,000 men in one night, it would mean the combined strength in a legion of 6,000 angels would be enough to destroy 1,110,000,000 men. And that's just the combined power in one legion of angels. You know, we really, when war happens, we really don't need to be concerned or worried if we'll just believe that God's sending those angels to fight our battles for us like he did in the Bible. Now, let's multiply the same number, 185,000, by 12 legions, or at least 72,000 angels, which was the number of angels Jesus said was available to him on the night of his arrest. When we do, we find out there was enough combined strength at Jesus' disposal to have annihilated at least 13 billion. Did I already read that? No? Okay. 13,320,000,000 men, which is more than twice the number of people living on the earth right now. Jesus didn't need Peter's little sword that night. Had he chosen to do so, Jesus could have summoned 72,000 magnificent, mighty, glorious, overwhelmingly powerful angels to the garden to obliterate the Roman soldiers and the temple police who had come to arrest him. In fact, the combined strength in 12 legions of angels could have wiped out the entire human race. But Jesus didn't call on the supernatural help that was available to him. Why? Because he knew it was time for him to voluntarily lay down his life for the sin of the human race. What has God been telling us for at least 4 years now? The angels are standing by waiting for you to ask them to help. This is why he wanted me to teach us tonight, because he wants to teach you something here. We are not calling upon the angels to assist us in our battles. And whenever God said, I'm fighting this battle for you, who's fighting this battle? The angels are. God is commanding them to go forth and fight your battle for you. So we need to start trusting in those angels to do what no man can do. All right? Learn a lesson from Jesus and from the Apostle Peter. Jesus didn't need Peter's undersized, insignificant sword to deal with his situation. What good would a single sword have been against all the troops assembled in the garden that night anyway? Got ahead of myself when I started. Peter's actions were a perfect example of how the flesh tries in vain to solve its own problems, but cannot. Jesus had all the power that was required to conquer those troops. From the spiritual realm to the natural realm, there are things that have been prepared and God is keeping them ready for us. Once you and I have a revelation of this, then it becomes a matter of bringing those things from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Now, I can't remember that pastor who was used to be, you know, in Satan's service and then he became, huh? Yeah, John Ramirez. And remember, whenever he was working for the devil and he would go try to attack one of God's children, he would see two or three angels standing around that person protecting them, so he could not touch them. What you need to do is you need to start sending the angels, if you aren't already doing it, sending the angels with your children wherever they go, because the world is cruel right now. Mm-hmm. And if you want, really want your children protected, then the angels are ones you need to be calling on to do that. All right, so how do you do that? We go from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Mark 11:24, the moment you pray and say amen, the thing you prayed for is in the spirit realm, all right? The minute you pray, it's in the spirit realm. But now you are believing for it to manifest in the natural. So evidently there is a process for bringing things from the spirit realm into the natural. And the best example for this would be God himself. And how does he do it? In Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember your history, your long and rich history. I am God, the only God you've had or ever will have, incomparable, irreplaceable, from the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be, all along letting you in on what is going to happen, assuring you I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do. If God has promised you something, he's going to do it. And he's going to use his angels to accomplish the task that is at hand. God declares things that are not yet done. In other words, whatever God wants to happen, he declares it. And Romans 4:17 says, we call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Are you listening here? He made something out of him when he was a nobody. So don't ever allow anybody to tell you you are a nobody, because God is looking for the nobodies right now. You know, in other words, the people that he's looking for, the people that other people are rejecting, and he wants to make you a somebody so he can prove to the people that he is God. All right, isn't that what we've always read in Scripture, God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. In other words, Abraham couldn't have children. God made him a father of many nations, and then Abraham had a child. All right? So what do we say here? Raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. How does God bring something that is in the spirit realm that cannot be seen with the natural eye into the natural realm where it can be seen? He calls for them. God wants you people to understand that everything that Jesus did in the garden, you have authority to do. You have the same authority that Jesus had. You can call on the legions of angels and they will come and assist you. I mean, when God gave me this revelation, I just can hardly contain myself, because really and truly, there's no devil in hell that is attacking you that can continue to attack you if you call the angels, stick the angels on them. You have to get this, because God said this is where he's at right now. All right, how does God bring something that is in the spirit realm that cannot be seen with the natural eye into the natural realm where it can be seen? He calls for them. Let me give you six definitions of the word call. Number one means to summons. Two, to order. Three, to give notice to come by authority. Four, to command. Five, to thunder or to utter with a loud voice. And six, to claim. Now, do you think for one moment when God summons something to come from the spirit realm into the natural realm that it will say no? Of course not. Amen. They obey without reservation. Paul is implying that if we want the same kind of results that God gets, then we are going to have to apply the same principle. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it, we say what we believe. The more you speak what God's word says, the more authoritative you will become. See, the enemy will finally find out, hey, they know what they're talking about. And they'll start listening to what you have to say. And whatever you tell them to do, they have to do. I know that I know that I know that if we learn to call upon the angels to assist us in any battle, that they have to obey us, and they will come and they will fight our battles for us. You know, I'm just hearing this, I'm going to say it. The angels also have the authority to stop the words in the atmosphere. Now, I never heard that before. God, I just heard that. That they have the authority to stop the words spoken in the atmosphere. All right? So we'll have to, somebody write that down and tell me what I said. All right? And the more convinced you will be that you have a right to do it. Now, what are we doing when we dare to speak with our voice, to call or to summons? We are literally laying claim to what we believe rightfully belongs to us. We have taken too lightly the part that the angels play in all this. The angels are on assignment by God to take those words and make them come to pass. God is wanting us to expect accelerated activity of the angels in the last days. He has been telling us that the angels are here to assist us. He's just been, really for a while, that's all we talked about. Then he quit. But he's back to that again. We have to call, and God told me one time that we are not using all the weapons that he has in his word to assist us in the things we go through. And I'm quite sure that a lot of us are not constantly calling on the angels, you know, to assist us. Like I told you this morning, I think it was this morning, you know, my two children, when they were into drugs, I knew that they were doing things they shouldn't be doing, you know, because the Holy God would say, pray for them. And so I would immediately cover them. I'd tell the angels to go and cover them so nobody could see them. And I do that because, what's that girl, those girls' names, they were in the prison camp, Corrie Ten Boom. And she was naked carrying a Bible past the guards, and they never saw her. An angel covered her. And so whenever I pray and have the angels to come to cover things, I'm leaning on that, because that is real. That's a reality. And like I said this morning, when my kids come home, they say, boy, I should be dead. But God came to my rescue. And why did God go there? Because I prayed, God, send the angels to hide them. I've even prayed for the angels to hide their automobile because they were driving without license. You know, I mean, you know, my people say that's terrible, but you know, that's what I've done. And they've not been, you know, not been stopped, and they came on home. They've called me and said, police are everywhere, and we need to get home, because we're driving without license. And some of them were driving somebody's car, was up without insurance too. You know, I mean, I just do that. I don't care what you do. But I just know that the angels do cover, and you need to cover your daughter. You know, because our kids are into things they shouldn't be into. We all know that. And it's up to us as parents to keep them safe. And God gives us angels to fight our battles for us, so we can't be where they're at. So we send an angel to cover them and keep them safe and bring them back home. Is that making sense to you tonight? All right. I explained this to a pastor the other day, and he got all excited. He's going to search that thing out and probably teach it. All right, where am I at? You have just learned. You have just learned how God brings things from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Now, what is the part of the angels that the angels play? Psalm 103, verse 20 says, you will find all over the Bible where God will release a command and angels begin working with his words to bring them to pass. The word hearkening means attending to what has been uttered. You give heed to what has been uttered and obey it, and to comply with what has been uttered. Comply means to perform or to execute. In other words, this verse is telling us that when God's word goes forth, you have to be speaking God's word. The angels attend to what has been uttered. They give heed to it, they obey it, they perform it, and they execute it. Now, if that is the way it works with God, then we having the same spirit of faith, can utter the word of God, and the angels will hearken. And do you know what the problem has been with most Christians? The angels haven't been hearing anything. that they can hearken to come out of their mouths. The angels don't hearken to unbelief. They don't hearken to, oh, woe is me, we are going broke, we are going to fail. They only hearken to God's word. In other words, the moment a believer speaks God's word, the angels hear it, and when they hear it, they know they are under assignment by God. They don't question it. You know, I was going through something last week, and when I was first born again, I was in my prayer closet, and a great big angel appeared. I said, well, I didn't know what it was. It looked like a Roman soldier. I said, what is that, God? And he said, that's your protective angel. That's Michael. He will protect you. And so a couple weeks ago when I was going through something, God said, why don't you call on Michael? Michael will fight this battle for you. And that's what I did, and the battle ended. And I know some of you can't believe this, but it is the truth. When you go home, ask God about it. Or ask God about it while you're sitting here. I don't preach untruths. And I only preach or teach when you're called to teach what God tells me to teach. You're going to have to call on these angels, because we are going into a war that the church is not ready to go into. And we are not going to be able to win this battle ourselves. It's going to have to be the angels. All right, I said, and they don't question what comes God's word, and they don't have the right to decide whether they are going to obey or not. They have a charge and they have an assignment by God to hearken to that word, to comply with that word, to perform that word, and do whatever is necessary to execute that word. You know, Teresa has a son living in a trailer by himself. If I was her, I have the angels, she probably does, I'd have them angels so looted around that thing you couldn't see the trailer, really. Because you don't know nowadays what's going to happen. Or we know that, how many of you put angels around your house every day? Every day. And when I know there's danger around, like somebody came and shot at our house a while back, I doubled that hedge. I said, make that hedge so strong of angels that they can't see, nobody can see our house. You know? We have to protect ourselves. And we have the protective angels to do it, and all we have to do is call upon them. And one day when I did that, I saw three rows of angels, a whole, looked like a wall, the whole way around my property. And God said, you're safe and you're secure. So come on, you can do that with your mind. You know, have the angels cover your mind so that the enemy can't bombard your mind. Get in the word and talk the word to the angels. Didn't we just read they have to obey? Right? You guys that run back and forth, you know, Newark or whatever, in here, you know, if I was you, I'd cover my, you probably do this too, cover your car with the angels, with protective angels, and always send the warring angels to go forth and remove any obstacle that the enemy might have placed up there to cause a wreck or whatever. I use the angels all the time. And they are a sure thing. Amen. They're better than a friend. You call your friend and tell them you got a problem. They say, well, I'll pray. But when you call on an angel, you say, you've got to do it because God's word says so. They go and they do it. We know that angels are obligated to perform and execute the commands of God when they are uttered from his mouth. But what about us? What about when you and I utter the commands of God from our mouths? Do the angels pay equal attention to what we say as when God says it? In Hebrews 1:14, are not the angels all ministering spirits or servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? Not only are they servants of God, but this would indicate they are our servants as well. There is resistance in the spirit realm. There are principalities and powers that are going to do everything they possibly can to see to it that what they say, what you say, will never come to pass. God is planning for a harvest of souls in these last days like no other generation has seen. And there's going to be an increased activity of the angels to bring that harvest in. Ever since we've started a church in our home, somebody has always seen angels in our services. And sometimes more than one. And Sister Catherine one time saw the angel standing back here. And so there's constant angel activity in these services. Why? Because I pray for that every day. Every morning when I get up, I pray that the angels be here in this church, you know, when we're having service. And then I pray that the angels are in my home and around my home. I pray because God, for angels to help me, because God's word said that's a weapon I have. And I want you guys, if you don't believe what I'm saying, go home and search it out yourself and just see what you find in there. And if you look in the Old Testament, what did God use? He just destroyed total cities. What did the entire cities, what did he use? Angels. And what, wasn't it two angels that went into Sodom and Gomorrah and the city wanted to rape them? But they were kept safe and got into the house. And the man sent out his daughter to be raped so that they would leave the angels alone. But the angels were sent there to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was telling Lot to leave because those cities were going to be destroyed. Now, God told me years ago that in America, one night, two cities are going to be totally destroyed. And he gave me the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I always thought, how is that going to happen? But since I've been studying angels for a few years now, that's how it's going to happen. Them angels are just going to come in there and just wipe out those cities. Angels are already, I'm hearing God say, angels are already actively working on our behalf through the words of God speaking over our lives. And the angels are taking those words and they are coming forth and they are protecting us. We need protection, guys. There's no protection out there for us, but we need God to protect us. All right, where am I at here? Entire families that have been running from God will come into the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because the angelic activity is being accelerated. How did, what's that guy's name that had all those Mercedes in his yard? What was it? Was it Norville Hayes? You know, his daughter, she would laugh at her daddy, you know, and she was on drugs. Wasn't that who it was? And one night he heard, and he kept praying that God would send an angel to her, so I do that too. And so one night he heard her screaming, and he ran out in the hallway, and she said the biggest angel she ever seen came into her bedroom, and she gave her heart to God, and she preaches. But see, he kept praying God send an angel to get her to herself. Get her attention. Maybe you need to start sending an angel to those you're praying for, you know, and scare them out of their wits and get them saved. But, you know, there's a lot of people that said an angel came to them and talked to them, and that's how they got saved. You know, instead of you reading your old romance novels, you ought to read the things about what's going on in the heavenly realm. Or, 9 out of 28 chapters in the book of Acts talks about angelic activity increasing in our day. 9 out of 28 chapters in the book of Acts talks about angelic activity increasing in our day. Stop talking about your circumstances. Start talking the word. Start talking about what has been prearranged for you, which is freedom. The angels are, I'm hearing God say, the angels are by your side right now. And they're fighting your battle for you. You need to trust him. And he's saying, quit being concerned and quit worrying. Trust him. The angels have been working on your behalf. Amen. And that goes for the rest of us too. God is not just sitting up. What did he tell us this morning? That he was weeping because he's been watching all the pain and misery we've had to go through. And he's weeping over us like he did his son Jesus when he went to the cross. And he has a heart for us. So a God that's doing that would not stand by and let us be destroyed. He would send assistance to us. When you ride with Sister Teresa, you have to pray the angels in the car. She has her angel on her visor to keep her safe, and I thank God for that. Today I said, what are you doing? But anyhow, and she's not worried. She just goes about her business. because her angel on her little visor is keeping her safe. That's good. She has faith in that angel. Well, not that angel, but in the angels to keep her safe. What are we believing in? How many people have you talked to that's been in a car accident and they say somebody came and ministered to me, and then they went to look for him, couldn't find him, and everybody else said nobody was here. God sent an angel to keep them safe and let them be in peace until the paramedics or whatever came to them. The angels are real, and we are going to see them face to face. And we're going to know they're real. But God's trying to get you used to it so whenever they come to you, they don't scare you. He wants you to be expecting them to show up. All right? That one evangelist, remember the angels used to come every night and sit in the rocking chair on the edge of bed, be two or three of them. They'd be laughing and carrying one. And they would bring a message from God to him. Then the same prophet, wasn't he the one where the devil came one night, pulled his bed away from the wall and opened the window and this and that and the other. And so he told the devil to leave, and he said, oh, come back here. You put my bed back where you got it, and you shut that window. And so the devil came back and put his bed back where it was and shut the window. He said, now you need to go. You know, and nothing bothered him. Because he believed God's word. He was a mighty man of God. I forget these people's names anymore. But anyhow, it's real. Angels are real. I've encountered angels. I've talked to people who were dying, and they would always see an angel up in the corner. You know, they'd be looking, smiling. And I'd say, what are you looking at? And they said, there's an angel up there saying, come on, come with me. They're real. So why wait till you're ready to die and see an angel? You know, why not be expecting astral to see angels all the time? So why not just be expecting to see them now? And then not only see them, but working on your behalf. So if you have a stubborn person that doesn't want to do the real estate right, say, angel, go over there and sick them. Make them do what's right. Amen? Come on. I mean, that might sound funny, but I'm serious about that, because I know how I've used angels all these years, and I know that they will work on your behalf. Come on. All right, you know, witchcraft is real, right? When we first worked at this building, I came from work and I went downstairs and got up on a ladder, and my granddaughter was there, and I said something that made her upset. And she had a Jezebel spirit. And after everything happened, I said, I hope she falls off that ladder and hurt herself. I fell off that ladder for no reason and broke my ribs. But the Jezebel spirit in her, when she spoke that words, immediately went into action. So why can't we use the angels of God and let the angels of God immediately go into action and do for us whatever we need done? And God said, if you really believe, he can shut the mouths of the people. You and people are coming against you and saying evil things. An angel can go and shut their mouth if you command it to go. What shut the lion's mouths in the Bible? The angels, right? These were human beings walking on the earth then, right? Just trusting and believing the same God we do. And if they speak and the angels come and close the lion's mouths, you know, God sent them angels. Why can't you and I believe and walk in the same miracles? You want the glory to fall and walk in great signs, wonders, and miracles. But see, you're not ready to receive that because you don't believe the simple things in the Word. Are you listening? You're going to have to start believing in these things, and then they'll happen. When we had the anointing here all the time, the angels were always doing things, constantly at work. People would see them. You know, I'd be sitting here and somebody down here, and they'd get knocked on the floor. Somebody hit me. Well, it wasn't me. I'm here, you're there. So what was it? It was an angel of God. They really didn't hit him, but they touched him and they fell down, you know. But it must have been quite a force because a lot of people think they got hit. Do you invite the angels to come into your bedroom at night? I know you do. I'm just asking everybody else. You know, do you ask them to come in and just, you're welcome to come in and sit and talk to me anytime, God. You know, the angels you're talking to. How many of every night you just speak the angels around about you and your loved ones to keep you safe even while you're sleeping? You just go to bed and say, oh, God, another day went by. Tomorrow's is going to be the same. You never ever bother to pray and ask angels to come and minister to you while you're sleeping. Right? God is so real. Heaven is so real. You know, God manifested himself so beautifully this morning. And he wants to do the very same thing tonight. But are you ready? Are you really ready to receive the angels of God, which is the next weapon, and this is where we're at? The way the world is, you know, if you people don't cover your kids, you know, the devil's going to destroy them. How many of you ask angels whenever you leave the house, just come with me. Keep me safe, because sometimes you do dumb things, right? And other people even do dumber things, right? And you just invite the angel to take a little ride with you. How many of you really are anymore? Lately, you just see them moving out of the corner of your eye. And, you know, I'll be sitting there on my computer, and all of a sudden, you know, I know somebody's in the room. And I catch a glimpse of them, but you can't see them. I'm going to start seeing them. I used to always pick up hitchhikers, and one night I left here, and there was a guy up walking the road, and I stopped and picked him up. And he knew my name. Didn't know him from nobody. Went up the road a short distance, but while we was driving, he told me, he said, Barbara, don't you ever pick up another hitchhiker. Because, he said, it's dangerous for you. And we were going up the road. He said, you can stop right here and leave me out now. And I said, there's nothing here. He said, just leave me out. That was an angel of God to warn me that if I picked up another hitchhiker, I was going to be hurt. Are you understanding this? I mean, if God's in control of your life, he's in control of everything in your life, right? Just not 90% of it. And God wants to keep us safe. And God said, some of you in here tonight, you just don't quite believe everything you're hearing. But God wants to open up your blinded eyes so that you can see. He wants you to be able to see into the spirit realm and see the angels that are around about you. I've seen multitude of angels. You know, when I pray, I speak them forth, I see those angels. And I know they're doing the work that I sent them forth to do. Tonight, what God wants to do is he wants to open up your spiritual eyes. And he said also your spiritual mind, where you can first of all really believe that there is such a thing as an angel who wants to help you. And then he wants to open up your spiritual eyes so you can see them and understand, talk to them, understand what's going on, what they're sent there to do. Because, you know, God's always said he's working behind, I'm just hearing this, I'm going to tell you. He's always tells us he's working behind the scene. And so he's talking to angels, telling them to help you. And you don't even know he's even doing that. I can just about guarantee there's a lot of us that shouldn't even be sitting here tonight, that the enemy had a roadblock set up to kill us. But God sent an angel to take that roadblock out of our way. And we're still here tonight. All right. The young lady there, and God said, you're richly blessed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And the enemy has tried many times to take your life. And God said, daughter, I've been with you all the days of your life. It is I, the Lord thy God, that placed you in your mother's womb. And I have been with you through the thick and through the thin. And it's been more thin than thick. For the enemy has been working overtime all around about you, trying to destroy you. but you've held on to my hand. And you've told the devil, I'm not quitting. I'm not sitting down. And God said, and he's calling you a prophetess of the Most High God. And he's sending you forth to prophesy to the nations. Your testimony of what your life has been all about is going to win many, many souls for the kingdom of grace. And daughter, this night I say unto you that I have come to visit you in a way that I've never visited you before. And you're going to hear my voice more clearly. For I am now opening up your ears to hear my voice, in my voice only. Never for one instant, little one, ever think that I have ever left you or forsaken you. I've always been with you. And like my son Jesus, you had to go through the sufferings so that you could win many, many souls for my kingdom. And even this night, daughter, I place jewels in your crown. You have suffered, and you have suffered, and you have suffered. But still you stayed the course. And still you've loved me and held onto my hand. Even when others told you that you were wrong for believing the way you believe, you said to yourself, no, I know that my God lives, and I'm not letting go. And daughter, for that, there's a great reward waiting for you right here on this earth. And daughter, all will see and all will know that you've always been my daughter. I am making the enemy pay for what he's done to you right now. I am vindicating you. And all will know that you are truly my child. From what God just said, many don't understand you. And even behind your back, they ridicule you. But to your face, they're nice. But behind your back, they talk about you. Even say you're nuts. But God said, no, that is so. You're my daughter. You're my beloved. And he's saying, he wants you to enter into peace right now. You've been laboring and laboring, trying to make people believe. But he's saying, you enter into his peace right now and let him and his angels take control of the things that you've been praying to the Father. Amen. The altar's open right now for anybody who really wants God to open up your spiritual eyes so you can see into the spirit realm like you've never seen before.